This is Wild About Utah.
Oft have we, my friends and I, left cares of home and workday woes to find a haven, there cast a fly, and where we'll camp, God only knows. Oft have we hiked the trail uphill to see it pass and again return, walked mile on mile to get the thrill of a meadow lake in a creel filled. Oft round the lake we've cast and fussed and wished at something we might shun, but something deep inside of us just holds us fast till day is done. Utahn Alfred Ralph Robbins loved exploring the Grand Eddy Basin in northeastern Utah's High Uintas with a group he called the High Country Boys. He compiled his labeled and dated sketches of camp and lake adventures among a sprinkling of black and white photographs in a scrapbook spanning the 1920s through the 1960s. They were casting at Governor Lake in 1927 and resting at Pine Island Lake in 1952 with 125 trout strung between the trees. I know they fished Pinto Lake, Trial Lake, Betsy Lake, and just about every lake in the area for 40 years. I know they, outfitted by DeFay's Dude Ranch, even stopped on top of the world on their way to Hatchery Lake with Alvis Newton Simpson, Robbins' son-in-law and my grandfather, because he captured and preserved it. As my father handed down copies of this family fishing scrapbook to his grandchildren, my sons and daughters, after what they called a Fishing with Grandpa Simpson Saturday, he included a cover photograph of his granddaddy Robbins in his fishing waders, holding 5-year-old grandson's hand. My father added, "I only made one horseback trip to Granddaddy Basin with Grandpa Robbins, but it was a very eventful week. It stormed one day, and we could hear the rocks tumbling down the mountain when the lightning would strike and dislodge them. Another day, there was a mayfly hatch as we were fishing one of the lakes. When that happened, the fish would bite on anything that hit the water. The mosquitoes just about ate us alive, and repellent didn't help much. We saw some fish about 3 feet long near the rocks on shore, but we couldn't get them to bite. We caught plenty of other fish and ate fish for supper most days that week." Do you have similar memories in the wild with your grandparents recorded somehow? Turning to one of my favorite books, Refuge, An Unnatural History of Family and Place, I read again how Terry Tempest Williams described the memories with her grandmother among avocets, ibises, and western grebes during their outings in Utah's Great Salt Lake wetlands. Grandmother Mimi shared her birding fascination with her granddaughter Terry along the burrowing owl mounds of the Bear River Migratory Bird Refuge. Williams wrote, "It was in 1960, the same year she gave me my Peterson's Field Guide to Western Birds. I know this because I dated their picture. We have come back every year since to pay our respects." I'm not a grandmother yet, but I will one day make a trek over Hades Pass again, gaze at the Granddaddy Basin below, and capture nature's poetry with pen, camera lens, and little hiker hands in mine. Bloggers have technologies today to share instantly with me and the rest of the world their adventures in this Granddaddy Wilderness region. Documenting autobiographical history has evolved from dusty diaries and scrapbooks with black and white photographs to today's digital image and video-filled blogs in exciting ways that can include the places in Utah you love with the generations you love. Consider it your contribution to history. I would not miss the O's and ah's I've seen in Doug and Noel's eyes when first they saw Granddaddy Lake from the summit in the skies. They are thrilled, I know, and so am I. They show it in their face, while I just swallow hard and try to thank God for this place. I am Granddaddy Basin poet Alfred Ralph Robbins' great-granddaughter, Shannon Rhodes, and I am wild about Utah.